Hey girl, you feel that? That's boyfriend material. This is episode 17, Fracture, from 2007. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe Too, and this episode is brought to you by Leather, English or Italian.
Oh, you mean leather?
No, that's boyfriend material.
Now, why is Leather the sponsor of this program? Are they sponsors or are they just endorsers?
They're like partnerships.
So where's the leather fit into Fracture?
She asked him if he wants English or Italian leather, and he also has that nice briefcase. That looked like a pizza delivery bag when I first saw it in this movie. Does it not look like a Domino's bag?
Every lawyer carries around a pizza bag. Of course it's a Domino's pizza bag.
No, but did you really think this? Because it's like bright red in like that first shot. And he's carrying it kind of like on his hands. Like he's carrying it at like chest height.
Oh, maybe I don't remember if I saw that actually. Let me take a look as we're recording. But I want to start this episode off by apologizing to both you and to our dear listeners for giving the impression that this movie was good at all.
But see, you're going to apologize and I liked it.
I should have remembered, you know, and no shade to my dad, but my dad doesn't necessarily, like, it's not a matter of taste, but like, he and I don't like a lot of the same movies, and so I remember he still loves this movie. It's just, this is,
good guys always win, man. Law always wins.
I want to say, you know, this is episode 17 of Boyfriend Material, and this is the first bad movie that we've done.
I don't think it's a bad movie.
Oh, I think it certainly is.
No, it's fun. It's like, it reminded me of, like, Double Jeopardy and Entrapment and, like, these kind of, like law thrillers, I guess. Like crime thrillers.
Yeah, law thrillers for moms.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm a fan.
I just want to call attention to the fact that you watched this, we both watched this last night.
Yeah.
And then this morning you said, before we started recording, I just watched this and I don't remember a lot about it, which is always the sign of a good movie.
Well, I kind of like that because then I can rewatch it and I get surprised again. And I feel like I'm a detective, like I'm uncovering it, but I'm just remembering shit that happened. So it's always like a good feeling. Like I get like very comforted in the fact that I'm like, oh, I don't remember this because like I couldn't tell you what this movie's about right now. Like, I mean, you know, murder, whatever. But, like, a lot of the twists and turns I won't remember, and then I'll watch this movie again, I'll be like, yeah, I bet that he did it. And then, like, you know, I'm like, shit, he did. And I'm, like, so impressed with myself.
Of course he did it.
I know.
This whole movie is basically, oh, he did it, let's see if we can get away with it. Like, we're rooting for the bad guy. Like, my problem with this
movie... Are you rooting
for
the bad guy, though?
I don't know.
They don't give you a real hero. Like, there's no protagonist in this movie, right? Like,
there's also no real boyfriend material moment, so we will get to that. But, you know, we've been navigating the murky waters of these movie plots by going through it in terms of most and least boyfriend material moments, and there's not a lot here. So we'll get through that sort of, you know, quickly, I think.
Yeah.
But I think this movie is basically meant for people who love Silence of the Lambs and want to see Hannibal Lecter be that kind of creepy, you know, super
above
genius,
the law, yeah,
and just do his thing. And it's not fun.
It's fun.
I knew that you were gonna love this. That's why I said, you know, when I started watching, I was like, oh
yeah,
boy. But I thought you were gonna love it because it's exactly the kind of brain mush. Like, it's the kind of thing where you can just not think about it and still sort of be surprised or whatever.
This is
by the end of it.
I saw a tweet the other day that says Netflix needs to add a category called things you can watch while you play on your phone.
Which is how I think most people just watch everything on Netflix.
Exactly. But, like, you know, there's some shows that, like, we even talk about this. There's some TV shows that I'm like, I can't, like Westworld. It's just too complicated for me to play on my phone while I'm watching it. So I need to be in a good headspace to, like, watch the episode. Now, I was, like, you know, just going through Stranger Things because it just came out. That's kind of a show you can play on your phone. Like, there's no, like, twist, like, one thing in one episode of Stranger Things unlocks the whole rest of Stranger. Like, they kind of, like, lead you along, right? It's a lot easier to deal with.
I understand what you're saying. I don't agree, but I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, in Westworld, you can miss, like, one scene and be like, oh, like, the whole season's a different season, right? Like, you're just like, oh, shit, I totally missed that. So, like, this movie felt like it was good because you could play on your phone and you could be like, oh, yeah, and you, like, look up. And they make logic jumps that don't make sense either. And so, like, I was, like, missing them or trying to pay attention to them. And I was like, wait, am I playing on my phone?
No, that's just because this movie is not good. Like, the big problem with this movie and the big problem with the whole angle of the boyfriend material in this is that his relationship with Rosamund Pike, who is Gone Girl herself.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
They don't develop that relationship in any way that makes sense. It just happens. Ryan Gosling is a lawyer at this, like, he's a district attorney or whatever.
Yes.
He's like this prosecutor, public prosecutor.
Yes.
He, apparently, we find out later that he had embarrassed a lawyer at this, you know, really high-end law firm
that he wanted to join.
I thought he could just show up, and he Gosling, like, ran out of the court. Like, he was so prepared, he ran out of the court.
Well,
and
he said
like,
he had a DUI charge, and he told him, if you get me an interview with your boss, I'll throw the case. And the dude's like, yeah, easy. So he set up the interview, and then Ryan Gosling come in and just, like, crushed him. And then, like, that guy got fired, and the guy gave him his interview, right? Because it looked like he beat him in court, like, but he didn't.
He's in the transition period between the two jobs.
Yes.
He meets up with Rosamund Pike, who's his new boss, and he's kind of flirty toward her, but she's like, no.
It's super,
like,
sexual tension-y, like, from the jump.
Just because they're both beautiful, but there's no reason other than that. She's like, no, I'm your boss, this is fine. Later, she's like, give me a call, and then the next scene literally is him climbing into bed with her. And it's like, what?
Yeah, it was very weird, and I messaged you when I was talking about this. I was like, this really sucks because, like, men are so impressionable. Like, why did it need to be his boss? Like, it could have been anybody else. Like, it could have been, like, somebody else in the mailroom at this place. Somebody not working at his new place of employment. But it's like, his boss comes in, she's beautiful. They start flirting from the jump. And then, like, he's dating her, essentially.
And dating her seriously enough that he goes to have Thanksgiving dinner at her house.
It wasn't a really serious thing because, you know, as someone who has, like, a lot of people that work with him, like, these invitations to Thanksgiving stuff is, she said, do you have any family around? And he said, no, I don't have any family here. So it was more like a, you know, you're his boss.
But it feels like a family Thanksgiving. It's not like you and Rachel having, like, a bunch of friends over and being like, oh,
no,
you know, if you want to come
still,
over, that's fine.
No, even still, like, I've invited people from work to, like, you know, Thanksgiving here, and it's like a familial Thanksgiving, but just because you know that they don't have anywhere else to go, but at the same time then they hook up afterwards. I'm not, like, doing that, so what does it?
The other thing to keep in mind is that this movie, the time, I don't know what the timeline of this movie is, but it's not a lot because it's all,
it's a,
like,
week,
the whole,
right?
It's the whole, it's point, yeah, is that Anthony Hopkins, who is the murderer, the accused murderer, who actually, spoiler, did murder his wife.
Well, we see it in the beginning. It's just not a spoiler because, like, he shoots her in the face, like, 5 minutes in.
Wants to rush this to trial because he's like, oh, I don't need investigation, I don't need discovery, I don't need this, I don't need that. Like, I just want to... He likes Gosling's sort of cockiness, his whatever.
He likes his cockiness, and he knows that he's leaving soon. So he knows that he's not going to give it as much attention as it should have.
So he just rushes everything through, and then, like, you know, this all happens, like, you know, he meets Rosamund Pike, they sleep together, then they have Thanksgiving dinner within the span of, like, 5 days.
Yeah, less than. And it's his new boss.
Boy, oh boy, oh boy, oh boy. So things about Ryan Gosling in this movie, his name is Willie, which is certainly a name.
Yes.
He's got a southern accent that goes in and out.
Yeah, I said that. He has the southern accent sometimes. Like, if you watch, it literally goes, like, as the scene goes on. Like, he starts with one, it fades, and then when he cuts to a new scene, he starts with it again. And it's, like, it's really bad. It's so bad. Have we seen Zeph do an accent on this note? I feel like we have. I think he did one once and we were like, oh god.
Probably in the earlier movies.
I think it was like Paperboy or something. Didn't he have a weird accent?
That would make sense.
I think it was like one of these. He had one.
When he was a down-home southern boy?
Yeah, and Channing always has his like normal accent.
Gosling's last name is Beecham, which I kept thinking is so close to Beach Bum. But Beecham.
No, I was thinking of someone named Beecham or Meacham.
He's got a shaved head for the first time. Like, this is the first time without really the hair.
Yes,
without his, like,
true,
you know, beautiful hair. This is also the movie. I think I mentioned this earlier in this podcast. Again, big disclaimer, I do not look like Ryan Gosling. However, when Facebook, like, a decade ago or whatever, did that, like, look-alike, like, put up your celebrity doppelganger as your profile picture, and I put a picture, and I didn't realize it was from this movie. And, again, I don't look like Ryan Gosling, but I look like him in this one picture. This one picture of him looks like me.
Okay.
And people are like, oh, wow. Like, people didn't believe me. And we've talked about this either on this podcast or maybe Zack Attack or whatever.
Okay.
But it was from this movie. So sort of like the same thing last episode.
You just trying to flex real hard right now that you look like Ryan Gosling?
No, I don't know how many more disclaimers I have to put. I don't look like Ryan Gosling.
I just know that you're getting flustered about it. That's why I'm instigating. I don't remember the past that well, so.
Clearly. To pay respects to our other Fast and Furious podcast, Too Fast, Too Forever, Ryan Gosling drives a 1974 BMW 3.0 CSI E9.
Yes, he does. And the most important car in this is that Anthony Hopkins starts out with a Porsche Carrera GT. You know what that is.
Sadly, I do.
That's the RIP Paul Walker death machine right there. And
oh, boy.
Yeah, so when I saw that, I was like, oh. Like, I just, you know, I felt a little tug in my heartstrings right there. I was yeah, a little sad to see that.
This movie starts out with 10 minutes of
what does Anthony Hopkins
doing
do,
things,
by the way?
I don't know, because the first 10 minutes of this movie, up until the point he kills her,
he's super
rich.
We don't
know who anybody is. We don't know why people are doing what they are. We know that there's a couple in a relationship of some kind.
Yeah, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, right? Don't they call each other Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah, okay. And it's like, I don't know who these people are, why, what they're doing, why they're doing it. I don't care. And it's a lot of the movie. It's 10 minutes.
But, I mean, they kind of have to set up that his wife's cheating on him.
But you could do it in a way that, like, actually...
Yeah, I guess.
Sets up a story as opposed to just like, oh, they're having a secret affair. This whole movie is like doing stuff like that to like save the reveal for later. Like the fact that it's the investigator is the one having the affair, and it's like,
it is.
Oh, can you believe how smart this movie is?
This is definitely a very faux smart movie. It's a movie for dumb people that want to feel like they're smart. I mean, I know your dad likes it, and I'm not saying that. I'm just saying
generally. No, but that's exactly, like, it's the kind of thing where it's just, like, it's the little interactions. Like, I remember, I was talking to you last night. You're like, what does your dad like about this movie? And I was like, there's the one scene I remember in particular that he loved.
The eggshell scene? When he talks about
the
eggs?
That interview, yes.
Yes, I thought that's what it would have been.
Because it's the whole thing like, does it bother you when I call you Willy? And Gosling's like, no, that's my name. He just goes, oh, Willy. And it's just like, well, ugh. All right, like, it's like the dumbest,
and
laziest
everybody...
writing that like is only even remotely enjoyable because Anthony Hopkins is himself. But it's like the worst interrogation because Gosling is mentally checked out.
Yeah, he doesn't
seems
care.
Like the screenwriter is mentally checked out, and it's just Anthony Hopkins like, ooh, let me rankle you, Clarice Starling.
Yeah, that's exactly what's happening. Also, this movie feels like, did you ever see the meme that's like that goes around a lot about Rick and Morty? And it's like, Rick and Morty has very high level humor, and if you don't understand quantum physics, you won't get it. Do you ever see this meme? It's like a copy paste.
No.
Okay, well, there's like this thing that people use all the time that like talks about, it's like a nerd telling you why Rick and Morty is funny, and if you don't like it, why you're not smart. And like, mm-hmm. That's what this movie feels like.
It's like, oh, you probably just don't get the legal subtleties of this movie.
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, there is no legal subtleties. There isn't.
But like, but Joe, do you get that he's working two jobs? Like, he's got mind.
And Anthony Hopkins is a super genius. And you're like, no. I mean, he just like knows how to play within the legal bounds of the law. And like, I mean, it's not really like he doesn't even have that really good of a plan. It's like not really that intricate, right? It's
well, so that's the thing. It's it all rests on the fact that he switched the guns. That's it.
They can't find a murder weapon. That's the whole point.
Right.
Like, if they can't
he's
find...
He's got a confession, yeah. But the confession is based on the fact that the hostage negotiator, which apparently he knew that he was the one who was going to get called or whatever, that he was the one having the affair with his wife, so the entire confession is null and void. It's basically Anthony Hopkins saying, I want to kill my wife, I'm smart enough to be able to get away with it, and here's how I'm going to do it. And I'm going to swap... It's two things. It's knowing that the hostage negotiator is going to be the one who gets called.
Yep.
And being able to swap the guns, and that's it. But the murder weapon and the confession then get thrown out.
Yes.
And that's it.
Well, there is no murder weapon. They can't find it, so.
Well, they find the gun, but it's never been fired.
Yeah, because he had two guns. He switched them.
Right.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not like they just, like, a gun has vanished. It's just, like, the gun that was fired, because it's, like, different bullets. It's different. It's the same gun.
But you know when you register a gun, it has a number on it. So they would know that this isn't the gun that he bought.
Not this movie, good sir.
I know, but I'm saying, like, I think that's how it works.
Oh, yeah, no, they each have, like, a very specific serial
number.
It's like a
number. VIN number, like your car.
Yes.
Like, you wouldn't be like, oh, there's, like, a red Camry outside, and he, like, switched the red Camrys. You'd be like, oh, just check the VIN. Like, that's not the one that he owns.
If I woke up and, like, just there's, like, somebody had swapped my car with another car, I'd be like, oh, yeah. Like, if it's, like, the same exact model, I'd be like, oh, yeah, this is my car. Where if it was charged, like, with a murder, you'd be like, oh, like, let me run the VIN. And it's like, oh, wait, no, this is a different car. Like, step one, right? Like,
yeah.
Maybe run the plates, and then you run the VIN. It's like, oh, right, different car. Okay.
Yeah, even if you switch the plates, you'd be like, oh, okay, this car has a number on it. And, like, I think they write the VIN on the, like, the engine. It's okay, yeah. But anyways, guns have model, like, have serial numbers on them, and they should have figured out that it was, like, the cop's serial number. They would have record of the cop's serial number of his gun too, because he's a cop.
Yeah, that's like very important.
Yeah, I think that they would like have like at least in a Google spreadsheet that just has like Steve gun number. You know what I mean? Like just in case.
You know, I want to make it clear to our listeners. I don't enjoy shitting on movies. Like, I try to find the good in movies, and that's, especially since it's
I
the first
like
time
this movie. I'm just laughing
in
17 about
episodes that I don't like a movie. I just hate movies that are so smug in the fact that they're smart. Because they're not, like, it's not, this could be, like, it's close. It's like a half a turn away from being, like, a dumb, over-the-top, pulpy thing.
Lifetime movie. It's a Lifetime movie.
It so doesn't want to be that. Like, it wants to be serious. But, like, if you've just been like, oh, like, it's just, like, wild.
Embrace
like, if it's, like, throwing crazy turns and crazy twists, but instead it's just like, no, here's one twist you didn't see coming. He's gonna say, not guilty. It's like, what?
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. If it embraced its lifetimeness, because this is a cookie cutter lifetime movie.
Yeah,
this is 1,000% the movies that I like to watch. But the only thing is like it would have been like the dog that murdered it at the end of the day. You know what I mean? Like it would have been like grandma or something that was like really went off the deep end. And like if you just went with that, it would have been a lot better. And also, I don't think that you're really shitting on the movie. I think that like it's fun. I still like it, but I can laugh at this dumb shit about it.
I also want to point out that this movie is essentially also the devil's advocate. Keanu Reeves plays a Southern lawyer who is basically undefeated. I think Keanu is actually undefeated. You know, Gosling has like a 97% win rate or whatever.
Which is essentially undefeated. Good.
And then he gets recruited to be at this like big time law firm. And then on the first case, or you know, basically the next case he does, and it's a little bit different there, but the next case he does is this like, you know, essentially unwinnable case or whatever, right? Like the smug Southern lawyer who's like, oh, I'm going to be on the big time now.
Who's downtrodden.
His hubris comes to beat him.
Gosling is fighting against the man too, because he doesn't have a middle name, remember? Can't play squash with the guys with the middle names.
No middle initials, his mother doesn't have a maiden name. What is a man to do?
I don't know. Not play squash, that's for sure.
Did you recognize, and I don't know, I mean, I know you've seen her in things, did you recognize the actress who plays his secretary?
She looked familiar, but I didn't know who it was. Who is it?
So she has lost some weight since then. Not that she's, like, overweight here,
no,
but she's like, gotten skinnier. She is Zoe Kazan. She is the female lead in The Big Sick. She's been in a bunch of things. I love her.
Oh, okay.
This must have been, like, one of her first movies, I think. Like, she's got a very small part. She just basically is the woman who gets Gaz the tuxedo.
Yes.
And who is supposed to call him, like, if he wants to sort of say, like, oh, we planted the murder weapon or whatever, but he doesn't do that.
Yeah.
But she doesn't really have a lot to do, but I was like, oh, because she's, you know, not a megastar, but she's been the female lead in a bunch of movies. Like, she's in this movie Ruby Sparks, which is great. But yeah, I just like seeing her, you know, in a movie where I'm, like, inching, like, reaching for anything that I'm going to enjoy. I was like, oh, I like her.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I also wrote down that this is also basically, like, not only is it the devil's advocate, but it's also kind of Lethal Weapon in a way, where he's, like, a day away from retirement. Like, he's, like, a day away from a new job, and they're like, oh, like I got this, you know, I'm too old for this shit.
Okay, a little bit of a stretch, but I get it.
Not quite, but a little bit, like, you know, what, yeah. One foot out the door, and then he's just like, oh, but it happens in a lot of movies. It's just like, oh,
yeah.
you can handle this on your way out. Like, oh, yeah, slam, open and shut case.
Exactly, yeah, I get it.
My first least boyfriend material moment is that, it's again, this is a stretch, these are all going to be stretches, but on his way out the door, right as he's getting told, hey, can you run this one more case, he goes up to his boss at the DA's office, and it's basically kind of like shitting on like public servant work, like, you know.
Yeah, like, he's like, I'm not going to be
this,
like,
but it's
you.
Also like, I'm bigger than this.
Yeah, I'm not going to be like you. I want real money. Like, I don't care about the people anymore. I need to get paid. And it's like, okay, don't be a dick about it, but sure.
Right. This guy also could have probably been like a high-paid lawyer, but instead chose a life of public service, and is still, you know, probably well off, but just not what he could be. And it's like, well, you know, he's doing a good thing.
People like to shit on these jobs, but they're comfortable, and you can dick around. Like, I'm in a similar position. I like the comfort of it.
The next least boyfriend material moment I have is what we talked about earlier, that he just starts hitting on his boss within seconds of meeting her.
I mean, she kind of, like, starts hitting on him, too. That whole relate, it just, like, it feels so weird and forced. Like, why do they need to do this? Like, ugh, I don't get it. That part of the movie, I don't get. She could have been anybody else, you know what I mean? Like, she could have been the secretary of, like, the DA's office or something. It didn't really need to be the boss. Like, they're just, like, condensing it. You know how we say, like, Fast and the Furious has too many characters?
Yeah.
This movie had too little characters. We need to spread the love around a little bit.
And, like, I guess, like, on the one hand, you're like, oh, like, let's have a lady be his boss. Like, that's, you know, empowering. And then, like, you just rip that away from the very beginning where they have, like, an open sexual relationship. It's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's why I like this movie. This is why I think, you know, some people would like it. You're just like, man, this movie's really woke. Look at her being the boss. And then you're like, well, she's just an underling. She's, like, mid-tier.
But the lawyer was a woman. Ooh.
Yeah, exactly. Goss still sleeps with her pretty easily, like, very easily.
Oh, yeah. There's no reason for them to be together other than they're the most beautiful people in this world.
Yeah,
but still,
true.
There's the scene we can't not talk about. The scene where Anthony Hopkins, the rascal that he is, says, my dick has evidence. And the judge is like,
God.
Sir! And he's like, oh, I'm sorry. I call my detective my dick. My dick has evidence. My dick is very good. It's like, look at this movie.
Yeah, that one really took me out of it. I was like, come on, man. Like, that's such a lame joke to make in the movie. Like, I get it. This is a movie for dads, I guess.
Yeah.
It is a movie for dads.
The whole thing is, like, Anthony Hopkins, like, vacillates between being, like, the smartest man in the room and also, like, this, like, guttering old idiot where he's just like, oh, I'm sorry. I don't know that the kids use dick as a slang for penis. I am so sorry. Winking at the camera the entire time. And then, you know, in court, the judge is like, you should object. She's like, he's like, I don't know. And then, like, a day later, he's like, well, you know, as cited in the case, blah, 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 blah. She's like, this is this and this
he's
dot, this dot, this.
He's paralegal, essentially. Like, yeah. In, like, 2 days.
And she's like, oh, seems like you got pretty good on your legalese over the weekend.
And the thing is like, I think that if you didn't play bumbling the whole time, the jury would turn on you hard.
Yes. And he essentially turns, he flicks the switch when he's like, oh, well, like, let's just push to get me acquitted because, like, you know, I am done. But he also doesn't need, like, the jury could hate him. It doesn't matter because he's like, oh, this guy has no evidence. He's not going to provide more evidence. Let's just say the jury's time. Let's get me acquitted because he doesn't care. Like, the jury could hate him. And that's the whole thing. Like, everything he does doesn't matter because he's just like, oh, they don't have a case.
Yeah, that's fair.
The next least boy for material moment, again, we sort of talked about is that Gosling sort of mirrors the guy that he had, you know, quote unquote, like, won the job with, and he just walks into this case unprepared, makes the DA look embarrassed, makes sort of, you know, Wooten and Sims, his new job, kind of look embarrassed.
Yeah, and his new job's, like, tracking it. I don't know what kind of job you would have that they'd be like, if you lose a case in court, like, it's over. You don't get this job now.
Well, I mean, it's a lawyer case.
Yeah, but it's like
a lawyer job.
It's still, like, if you already got the job, it's like you had to be qualified or they had to see something good in you. If it's, like, your last case and, like, you're fighting this Anthony Hopkins super genius.
And also, it's the same thing. It's like, you know, like, I didn't realize, and maybe I should have done that the due diligence, but, like, I didn't realize that the investigator was going to basically beat a confession out of him that
and was also sleeping with his wife.
Fly.
Yeah.
Basically, and again, this might not fly, but you could be like, my boss said, my old boss, the DA said, open and shut case, we've got a full confession, and this is what he says in the beginning of the movie. Signed confession, verbal
weapon.
Confession, weapon. He asked me to do it as a favor. You know what I mean? And it's
yeah,
like, oh,
that's
well,
what I'm saying.
Again, they might be like, you know, you still should have done the work, but it's also at the same time.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And it's like his last case. He's like, dude, like, look, I got a week to fight a murder case, and I didn't think this dude was going to go to trial. Like, I thought that it was going to be a plea deal. I think you have a lot of excuses built into this one. Like,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, so, but anyway.
Well, that's the whole thing. Like, the whole movie is full of excuses.
Yeah. In real life.
It's like, well, we need tension. We need conflict. How could he lose the job? Will he lose the case? Well, it's like kind of the kind of thing like with the VIN number. Like, well, don't think about it too much. If you think about it too much, like, it's going to be like, oh, yeah, that doesn't really hold up. But
yeah.
If you think about it just enough, you're fine.
Exactly.
At one point in this movie, it feels like Ryan Gosling kind of falls in love a little bit, but it's not quite, with Anthony Hopkins' wife. Like, he spends time with her in the hospital room, like, he's reading to her, but he's, like, looking for clues, but I don't understand what he's doing.
They're showing you that he's taking the case seriously, that now he's invested, and he's also contemplating the Thanksgiving comments about, like, do you want to be an evil lawyer that just fights for rich bad guys, or do you want to fight for
you
the
don't
want to
be
man?
What our daughter does and fight for rich bad guys.
Yeah, you want to fight for the small man, for the people that can't speak for themselves type thing. And that's what they're showing you, that he's emotionally toying with taking the new job or being a DA, where he knows that he should be because he's a good lawyer.
I guess.
That's what they're trying to sell you.
How does sitting with the wife in a coma, who has never met you, by the way, and reading Dr. Seuss to her,
compassion,
prove to anyone that you're a good lawyer?
Compassion. It's just showing you that he's becoming compassionate. He's not completely removed like he was. That's what I took from
but
this.
Compassion just in general?
Yeah, because he was, like, so, like, checked out and, like, just wanted to, like, go make the big bucks, that now that he, like, they're showing you that he does care about people and the people that can't speak for themselves. And justice. He cares about justice.
Truth, justice, and the American way?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, so, okay. So, as I was watching this movie, I, you know, especially with the jumps in the relationship between him and Rosamund Pike, I went on Wikipedia because I was like, I think I'm following it because there's not a lot to follow, but I was like, there's like a wild jump. I was like, what happened here? And I looked on the Wikipedia, and basically, the middle third of this movie does not exist in the plot summary. Everything in the middle, like, there's like three paragraphs about, like, the setup of the case, and then the last three paragraphs of the thing are, like, Billy Burke, the lead investigator, killing himself and all the aftermath, all the fallout from that.
Yes.
But, like, the entire middle hour, say, of this movie, of, like Gosling and Rosamund Pike,
yeah.
Like, you know, the movie, it's just not in the plot summary.
It doesn't really need to be. It kind of exists outside this world, right? Why do they have a relationship? They don't need to. It could have easily been his boss, and they could have been, like, friendly. Like, she could have been a welcoming new boss. Like, they don't need to sleep together.
I guess.
Any of these things could have happened without them being in a relationship.
Oh, yeah. They just needed the sex scene.
Yeah, they just needed one. And it's not even a sex scene. It's just like, yeah, you don't even get, like, a good, like, actual sex scene. You get, like, him coming over and then her waking up and being like, you don't have to leave. And you're like, wait, what the fuck? How did this happen?
Yeah, he crawls on top of her and then, like, she sits up and puts a shirt on. Like, you don't, there's no nudity. You don't see anything. There's no, like, passionate, like, even, like, you know, a tasteful, you know, makeout scene or anything. It's just like, oh, like, this is the post-coital interaction.
I want to see some good hate fucking, like, them to be, like, disappointed in themselves and, like,
well, like,
angry.
I feel like if the movie wants to focus on this, you can either do that or just have this be a twist or something, or, like, have this relationship mean literally anything.
Yeah.
Another thing I love about movies like this is that, you know, when Gosling, right before the acquittal comes, you know, he's considering whether or not he wants to call Zoe Kazan to bring in and have her say,
We found the weapon. Yeah.
And he pulls out his phone, and I love in movies like this where he has 6 contacts in a cell phone.
Oh, does he?
It's like,
I didn't notice,
like,
that. That's cool.
Adam, Jake, Zoe. And it's like, oh, God, like, okay. Like, because he's, like, scrolling, you see him scrolling through it, like, it's 6 names. Nobody has 6 contacts, number one, except for maybe, like,
small children back in the day.
Who's, like, you know, like, has their spouse, has their kids, and that's it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, he's a lawyer who presumably talks to people on the phone all day long. Even in this movie, we see him talking the phone.
His phone gets
all day
blown
long.
Up all day, yeah.
But he has 6 contacts. I'm just like, oh.
But also, it's an old flip phone. Maybe he'd only held, you know, 25 contacts or something. Who knows?
But yeah, then the acquittal comes. Billy Burke kills himself, the lead investigator, because he's like, I fucked this up or whatever. He kills himself with the same gun. And Anthony Hopkins later is like, oh, took them both out with a single bullet. It's like, oh, boy. But then, you know, the only most boyfriend material moment that I have in this is that then Gosling becomes so driven and so passionate that he's like, I need to get this guy. This guy needs to get his comeuppance. I guess that's the most boyfriend material moment?
Maybe. I have a different one, but I'll save it till the end.
Okay. That's kind of it. He investigates a while, and then he figures out, he, like, goes to the precinct, sees pictures, and realizes that it's been a gun swap. Because it's like, he looks at the 2 cell phones side by side. He's like, oh, that's the same cell phone. What if there are 2 guns?
Yeah, exactly. That's the unlocking moment for him. Yep.
It's the tired wired, or it's the, you know, the brain, like the global brain or whatever,
yeah.
The universal brain. It's like, oh, what if he did it? No, he couldn't have done it. What if in an accident? No. What if he planted the evidence? No. What if it was the same gun?
Yeah.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
But then it goes to the end, and of course, in a movie like this, Anthony Hopkins, who the entire time is like, look how dumb you are, look how smart I am, let me confess to my crime, and guess what, my dear boy? You cannot charge me again. Have you heard of Double Jeopardy?
Yes. Which we already knew because they gave it as foreshadowing in the beginning of the movie somewhere.
They're just watching that Ashley Judd movie, Double Jeopardy, and they're just saying...
Are they?
No.
I was like, wow, that would have been really on the nose.
Rosamund Pike, you want to go on our first date? We're going to go see this new movie in theaters, Double Jeopardy.
But I didn't not believe it was the funniest part. Like, you sold me. I was like, did I miss that?
No, because it's the kind of thing where it's just like, oh, did you see, like, oh, man, did you see early? They were watching
like,
the movie.
It's like in, where they're watching Wall Street in the other movie. Oh, the one with Ben Affleck.
Oh, yeah, Boiler Room.
Yeah, in Boiler Room, when they're watching Wall Street, it's like kind of that. It's like in there.
I know that you love Boiler Room, so I don't have to defend Boiler Room, but I feel like that's the kind of thing where it's just like, we're making fun of these doofuses. And like, if they made that movie
yes.
today, they'd be like watching The Wolf of Wall Street. Like, look at this guy. Look at Jordan Belfort. Like, he's our hero.
Exactly.
It's like, well, you know, you don't understand like the lessons of that movie. But,
yeah.
And so Anthony Hopkins confesses to him all, and then Gosling's like, oh, if only. He's like, oh, but you just had to let her die, didn't you? And now, it's not attempted murder, it is murder. And I was like,
and there's
is that...
a bullet in her brain. And we
I
could
was like,
take...
is that really? And I'm like, I guess. It's like enough for the movie where, again, like, that might not be, but whatever. He's not charged for murder. And then the real twist of the movie is that he goes back to court, and Gosling, now ready, is prosecuting him again. And now Anthony Hopkins is defended by
team of lawyers.
Wooten and Sims.
Oh, is it really? Is it his old?
Yeah. It's the people that were about to hire him are his high-powered defense
I didn't even catch that.
Can you imagine? What a twist.
Yeah, what a twist at the end there. Oof.
And that's the movie.
Yeah, that was it. That was the whole thing.
It's on Netflix if you want to watch Brain Mush for 110 minutes.
It's a good movie. I actually really enjoyed it.
It's not, but I appreciate you saying that.
It's not a good movie. I'm saying it's a fun movie. There. Is that better?
Yes.
Okay.
So Ryan Gosling, this is an R-rated movie. I feel like it doesn't have to be rated R. I feel like there's a couple too many fucks. Like Anthony Hopkins just can't stop swearing for no reason. It's very clear, like, it could be a PG-13 without losing almost anything. Like, there's nudity you have to cut out. Maybe a little violence, but you could just, like, you know, again, we've talked about this.
It's not even that violent. It's, like, there's, like, some blood scenes, but they don't even show you, like, people getting shot, really. It's, like, all, like, cuts, weird, you know, camera. It's like, it's shot like a PG-13 movie. You could easily be like, okay, bang, you hear the gunshot, you see blood on the ground. Like, that's the...
You just see, like, a body on the ground, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was nominated still, even though it's rated R movie, for the Teen Choice Awards nominee for Choice Movie Actor Horror Thriller Ryan Gosling. So, believe it or not, no Academy Award nominations here, but he did get a Teen Choice Award nomination.
How?
Lost, however, to our boy, Shia LaBeouf, in a movie called Disturbia.
Oh. The Teen Choice Awards are great because they had to just pick people, like, actors that people know, like the teens know.
I think so. It's just like, oh, like, you might not have seen Fracture, but, like, look how dreamy Ryan Gosling looks.
Exactly. It's like, did you see that preview? Like, he looks pretty good in this movie, I guess.
This movie, though, still a wild financial success. $10 million really? Budget, made $90 million worldwide, made 40 in the U.S., made $50 million around the world.
Well, Anthony Hopkins is in it. 90. That carries it. Anthony Hopkins, Ryan Gosling in a movie. Like, I get it.
And this is like Ryan Gosling just off the, you know, this is just Notebook-driven Ryan Gosling. 71% by the critics. Though Fracture's plot is somewhat implausible, the on-screen face-off between Gosling and Hopkins overshadows any faults. 71% of critics think it's fresh. 73% of audience likes it.
Wow. That's high.
That's 100% what this movie is relying on. Like, don't think about things. Just watch that Willy scene, watch that My Dick as Evidence scene, and that's all you remember from it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, exactly. I get it.
This is also, and you've used this metaphor before, not just like the play on your phone, but this is the kind of movie like you can go to and you can like make out with your high school girlfriend.
Yes.
And your parents are like, well, what was the movie about? Like, oh, you know, Anthony Hopkins killed his wife, and then like he's like, I didn't do it. And Ryan Gosling has to prove he did it. And it's like, oh.
Exactly. And if somebody saw the movie, they'd be like, yeah, he wasn't lying. But yeah, it's this is definitely a high school make-out movie, I think. If it was PG-13, it definitely would be. Like, the R rating, this is maybe a movie that you take your, like, mistress to or something.
Your Mr. and Mrs. Smith?
Yeah, exactly.
So there were a bunch of, I don't know why, this is not a piece of trivia that we normally cover, but there's a lot of deleted scenes on the DVD, apparently. There
Whoa.
Is
okay.
a different introduction of Ryan Gosling, two different sex scenes. There's one where it's, quote, energetic,
oh.
and then there's one that's more sensual where he carries Rosamund Pike up or down the stairs. Another one where Gosling visits Anthony Hopkins' wife at the hospital, tells her about his family. And then there's two alternate endings. There's one where he, like, switches the bullets. And so then the bullets in Billy Burke's gun, like the prosecutor's gun, have Anthony Hopkins' fingerprints on them or whatever. It's like they didn't know how the ending could make sense. And so they just filmed three endings that were all basically the same thing, but, like, a little bit different.
Okay.
And then include the others on the DVD for some reason. I don't know.
That's really weird. What's the third ending? It's to switch the bullets so that his prints are on the bullets in the other
it's
gun.
It's just different Anthony Hopkins reactions to what Gosling's saying.
Okay.
Because you hear, like, in the first one, like, the catch, the shells of the bullets were loaded by Anthony Hopkins into Billy Burke's gun have Anthony Hopkins' fingerprints on them. Gosling puts the gun in the rolling marble model. Don't know what that is.
The rolling model. The ball thing. The perpetual time machine.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Which Anthony Hopkins destroys to get the gun and wipe the bullets clean. After he's finished, Gosling opens the drawer where Anthony Hopkins keeps his gun. It's empty. And tells him that his gun is actually at the lab.
Oh.
So, like, it's just like, oh, like, I outsmarted you, like, I know the gun. So it's basically, instead of him being cocky, him, like, freaking out, I guess. You know what I mean? And
yeah.
At one point, George Clooney was attached to direct this movie.
See why he backed out.
He would later go on to direct Gosling in The Ides of March.
Ides of Goss, yeah.
Chris Evans, Captain America, America's Ass, had auditioned to play Willie Beecham.
He would have been good in this. It would have been the same thing. It would have been the exact same thing.
Just like, you know, a handsome
He
American
and Gosling
boy,
can swap,
Canadian
yeah,
boy.
Pretty easily.
The greatest trivia, only because, even though you hate La La Land, I think this might be cool. In Ryan Gosling's house, he's got a picture, like in his house in this movie, there's a picture of Charlie Parker in his bedroom. Charlie Parker, a.k.a. Chicken on a Stick. Which I think is just like a weird coincidence, but a cool thing.
Yeah, I guess he really is a jazz head. That's true.
He did save jazz.
He did. He saved jazz like Green Book saved racism.
Yeah.
Like, he just cured it. He
cured it.
Just one fell swoop. Opened
jazz
up.
Jazz was dying, and he brought it back. He and John Legend.
Exactly, man. I do love these. God. I love the idea that you could just save a whole thing with a movie like that. It makes me really happy. It was like, what was the fucking Ben Affleck or the Ben Affleck movie where he like saves a whole like nation?
Argo?
Argo. Yeah, that movie. Ben Affleck just saves a whole nation in a plane just by himself as a journalist. He just saves
it. So, that's sometimes all it takes.
It's all it takes. One white guy. One white guy with a plan. That's all you need.
So, Joe, let's find out what's in Ryan Gosling's hands. Hey, Gos, what's in your hands? The big one, I sent you a picture last night, holding a flamingo.
Flamingo, yeah.
For no reason, other than, I guess, 12 years after this movie came out, for us to play this game about it.
I guess. I think that had to be an improv move, right?
Guess, like, hey, you know, he's going to come over, you're just cleaning out the garage, just, you know, action.
Yeah. He has the briefcase in his hand.
Mm-hmm.
Cell phone.
He's reading Oh, the Places You'll Go to Anthony Hopkins' wife.
Yes. Gun.
Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah, fork and knife. He's eating.
Oh, he brushes his teeth again. So this was a big thing that we learned in Cage Club. Nicolas Cage shaves in like 12 or 15 movies.
Yes.
He's just
you
always
told me about
shaving.
This. Yeah.
Gosling now brushes his teeth in Lars and the Real Girl. He brushes his teeth again here, this time in the shower. It's just like he just always brushes. He's always cleanliness.
Yeah, brushing your teeth, that's a good thing.
He's got a bow tie when he's got the tuxedo when he gets called 007. He dresses up for the gala.
Yeah, I do like the bow tie. What else does he have in his hand?
Probably legal documents.
I think that includes the briefcase, though, right? Like.
Yeah. Oh, there is the discovery, like, well, you know what they have, all the...
Eggshell. He has an eggshell in his hand.
Eggshell. But when, you know, they send all, like, they're legally required to send all of the evidence they have to Anthony Hopkins so he can review it, and Anthony Hopkins just writes in big red letters, no, no, no. He's just like, oh, this guy.
What a clown. This
what
goofy
a clown.
Old man.
Let's watch the trailer.
Sure. I think we talked through this movie. There's not many boyfriend or least boyfriend material moments.
We'll get to that at the end. Just, you know, whatever it is. So Fracture Trailer, posted by the account Fracture Trailer.
Oh, the account is Fracture Trailer?
Yep.
It's a good sign, always.
Posted 1 year ago, has almost 500,000 views.
Somebody started a YouTube
account. Oh, it's posted by YouTube Movies, I guess. Okay.
I was going to say, somebody started a YouTube account just to post Fracture Trailer, but it's YouTube Movies, yeah. I'm ready whenever you are. Countdown.
3, 2, 1, play. This is also, I guarantee you, a trailer that says the entire movie.
97% conviction rate. 97% conviction rate.
Don't like to lose.
He doesn't like to lose.
Private sector job. Pretty soon you'll be courtside at Laker games.
Oh, he's
oh, look at that cheesy. Oh, boy.
Are you alone?
Oh. Do I know you?
Nikki Gardner.
See, we
boss?
Already,
Oh.
I'm your boss, but they're already flirting.
It's done. Don't worry about it.
She's really
Don't
hot
worry
in this, by the way.
She's beautiful. I mean, yeah. She's the kind of woman that, would Gone Girl you. Be like, all right, I get it.
Yeah.
Does he?
Another Porsche.
Shoots
situation.
Him.
I like that the camera's like all twisty, like, oh, can you believe how warped this movie is?
Yeah, I don't know if it's really a hostage situation if she's dead and Anthony Hopkins is in this house by himself with a gun. Is that a hostage situation? I guess.
Well, I think he calls and just like, you know, I have my wife held hostage.
Not fair.
I think because he needs to get that one specific guy to the house, right?
Yeah, that's true.
You look for mine.
Like, you can't just be like, I murdered my wife and then have just any cop show up.
Yeah, the interview. You wily dog.
It's safe to say that someone
Willy dog.
Who inflicted this kind of wound intended to kill.
Yeah, I wish to object. I don't know the legal terminology, but what would you call it when the officer arrested you has been having sex with your wife?
Oh yeah, fucking my wife.
So the whole twist there is, you know, and not that it's a twist because it's the first 10 or 15 minutes, but again, in the trailer.
Yeah, true.
No prints, no weapon, no blood.
Gun has never been fired.
You lose, I guarantee you your shiny new job will not be waiting for you.
Yeah, if you lose, no job.
Confession, everything.
I thought that actually when the shot of Gosling driving, like, I thought that was like a cool camera shot, just for whatever reason, like the handheld in the front seat was cool. Like,
yeah.
The rest of this movie just looks like very predictable, formulaic. Like, that was actually kind of like cool and just sort of whatever.
Why was there a fight that we didn't see there?
I don't know. I also saw like it looked like Rosamund Pike, like a stripping scene.
Maybe. So maybe those were the deleted scenes that we didn't see. Fracture. It's a good name of a movie, by the way.
I mean, it's a pretty good fire recital, so we will get to. All right, Joe, the Google game, and again, I'm not sure if this is going to work, but it's a short enough title that it could. Ryan Gosling, Fracture. Oh, there's a bunch.
Anthony
well,
Hopkins.
There's 3.
Anthony Hopkins.
Nope.
Tie. Bow tie. Suit.
No.
Car.
Car's number 1.
Okay. Briefcase?
Nope.
Flamingo.
Nope. There's one fashion thing and then one thing that I don't think you're going to get because it's wildly unlike anything we've ever had before.
Glasses? Sunglasses?
Nope.
I don't know.
Watch.
Watch. Okay.
But then, the thing that you're never going to get, and it's not quite this because it's a book, but poem.
Oh, The Places You Will Go? Nobody knew what it was?
And then if you do Fracture, Ryan Gosling, the only other new one is House.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. Okay, do the Letterboxd game now. So for reference sake, Joe, Mad Max Fury Road has been seen by 373,000 people. It went up.
Okay.
373. Fracture, 2007, directed by Gregory Hoblit, who also directed the legal thriller
Gregory
Primal
Hobbit.
Fear.
Gregory Hobbit.
Gregory Hobbit. I had tried so hard not to say that. He also did a movie called Roe v. Wade. He also did a Diane Lane movie called Untraceable. Directed by Gregory Hoblit, Anthony Hopkins, Ryan Gosling, David Strathairn, Rosamund Pike. Average score 3.3. How many people have seen this movie?
Oh, 35,000.
Lower.
See, I was banking on this Goss love.
This
and
is,
Anthony
this is
Hopkins.
Not, this is, but again, this is not a high school girl sort of movie.
I know, I know. 17.5.
Higher.
23.65.
23.058.
Oh, that was close.
So you were 7 off on your third guess, but still.
Yeah.
Very good. All right, now, Joe, of those 23,000 people, how many have it in their top 4?
6.
Higher.
10.
Higher.
25.
Lower.
17.
17.
There we go.
You made it there.
Yeah, I got it.
Yeah, so I looked last night. There's 2 that are very, very good that we could do.
Okay.
I'll do the one, and I'll let you know who the other one is. So this one guy, we're going to W. Gillis. @WGillis on Letterboxd.
Okay.
He just likes movies. Now he doesn't really rate them anymore. Fractures is number 2 movie.
Number 2. Okay.
Number 1 is a movie that I mentioned earlier that I said this movie is basically the same thing as.
Shit. What movie did you say it was? Lethal Weapon.
Nope. The other one.
Oh, fuck.
The one that it's actually more like.
Fatal Attraction.
Nope. It's another
Devil's Advocate.
Movie.
Devil's Advocate.
Devil's Advocate number 1. Yeah. Number 4 is a movie that we just talked about, was in the girl that we did for Blue Valentine, in her top 4.
Oh,
the
I know
that you and I had a conversation about that Rachel had a point about me to make, I guess.
Oh, Eternal Sunshine.
Number 4. And number 3 is, you know, on the Mount Rushmore of top 4 movies for this game, this is one of the 4 probably most popular movies to put in their top 4.
Avengers.
Nope.
Pulp Fiction.
Nope, but you're right there.
Shit. Avengers, Pulp Fiction.
We also talked about it yesterday with Lars and the Real Girl, or last week, wink, wink, a movie that we were imagining that it could be.
Fight Club.
Fight Club, number 3. So, Devil's Advocate, Fracture, Fight Club, Eternal Sunshine.
Yeah, that's a lineup, I guess.
That's just a dude. That's just a dude.
it's just a college dude.
The other person I had found, his top 4, Quentin CL from, I don't know where this is, where's Liège?
I don't know.
Belgium. Wolf of Wall Street, Lincoln, Devil's Advocate, Fracture. Like, people like this movie, Devil's Advocate, because it's the same movie.
Yeah.
That is campy and goofy and wild and over the top, and this is just, like, straight by the book, like, legal thriller. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Joe, Fire S. Titles, Fracture is pretty simple. It's not exactly what this movie's about, but if we're going to High School Musical this title, what would we change this to?
The Lawyer.
I Didn't Kill My Wife.
A Tale of Two Guns.
Ooh, Tale of Two Gaws.
A Tale of Two Gaws, so I like that.
Fraksh Gaws. Gosture.
Gosture. Your posture? Gosture.
Your gosture is terrible. Sit up straight.
Oh, The Places You Will Go.
I like that a lot.
I know.
Did you say Two Guns? Like that Denzel Washington, Mark Wahlberg movie, Two Guns?
I said A Tale of Two Guns.
Just Two Guns. Just simplify it.
The Husband.
Mmm. I don't know what it's called. I think there was a trivia thing that I got rid of it, but whatever the machine is called that Anthony Hopkins is playing with, like the marble machine?
Yeah.
Whatever that thing is actually called, you can just call this movie.
Perpetual Motion. How about that? Perpetual Motion works on so many levels.
Legal Briefs.
Then it sounds like a porno.
Or Discovery.
Discovery, yeah, that works. Evidence.
The Last Case.
Ooh, what is it, like On Your Way Out or like Foot Out the Door?
Mmm. Double Jeopardy.
I was going to say this. God, that was my next one. That's exactly what my next one was.
Do you have any others?
No. Entrapment.
Intriesment.
Intriesment.
All right, Joe, you were saying that you had a selection for the most boyfriend material moment in this movie.
Yeah, when he's reading The Places You Will Go to to Anthony Hopkins' wife. That's like the most boyfriend material moment.
Okay. And I think, you know, related to that, mine is just that it's that sort of what that symbolizes, the kickoff of him becoming, as we talked about, more serious about the case, more invested, more compassionate. It's just his, like, I need to get justice.
Yeah.
I feel driven now. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Yeah, it's the same thing.
What about least boyfriend material moment?
When he talks to the DA guy and goes, I don't want to be, you're just mad that I'm not going to be like you.
Yep.
I think that was a pretty dickhole thing to say.
And I will say, related to that, my pick for least is when he just was like, oh yeah, I don't need to prep. I don't need to study. I'm going to crush this test. And then doesn't. It's not like he, you know, has like a legal law firm, but like, you know, he makes the state. He makes the people look the fool.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, Joe, if you'll remember, I told you this is an Anthony Hopkins, Ryan Gosling lawyer movie. And you said, no. It's definitely about fracking.
Yes, I remember.
They're coal miners. Gosling and Anthony Hopkins get trapped in a mine. Ryan Gosling figures out Anthony Hopkins is gay, but he's never admitted it. Which, again, you said he's married, has kids, comes out to Ryan Gosling. So wouldn't that be a twist? Like, I killed my wife because I'm gay.
I know. I think it would have been a better movie.
A lot of things could have made this a better movie.
Okay.
You said the most boyfriend material moment is he sucks Anthony Hopkins' dick. He says, I know you've never experienced this before. Even though Gosling is straight, he does it. But then, when they get out of the cave, Anthony Hopkins says, thank you for helping me experience that. Gosling laughs at him. Walks away. Then he makes out with a girl right in front of Anthony Hopkins and winks at Anthony Hopkins while he does it. I mean, he basically is winking at Anthony Hopkins while he's sleeping with Rosamund Pike, you know, metaphorically. So
yeah.
Your wild guesses were actually closer to this movie, because this movie is just like, oh, we don't know what it should be about either.
I was as close as you can get without it being about a lawyer, right?
Mm-hmm. Joe, our next movie is Half Nelson, which I saw, which I know it's about. I'm not going to guess this one. I will tell you, just to get excited, I won't tell you anything it's about,
it's
but it's directed
movie by
Bowden and Fleck, the duo that directed Captain Marvel.
Oh, really? That's kind of cool.
And this was also notable, so I want you to give proper gravitas to your guess. It's notable for the fact that Ryan Gosling was nominated for Best Actor Academy Award for this movie.
Okay. This movie is called Half Nelson. It's a biopic of Ryan Gosling being Bret Hart, the wrestler.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
In the movie, the most boyfriend material moment is that he has a wrestler girlfriend.
Okay.
There's a scene where they sensually shoot steroids into each other's asses, and he like teaches her how to shoot steroids so she can get bigger and be a real wrestler. So that's the most boyfriend material moment.
And the least boyfriend material moment
is he had hepatitis the whole time and they shared needles and he didn't tell her.
Oh boy.
And he gives her hepatitis from his steroids needle.
I love that you think that we live in a world in which Ryan Gosling played Bret the Hitman Hart that not only have you never heard of it, we've never talked about it. Like, if this movie happened, it would be all anyone would ever be talking about.
With sensual steroid shoots, like, right in the middle of it. I'm talking, like, near Pulp Fiction levels of, like, needle play. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm guessing.
That was trippy. Joe, we have one more thing to do. Nominate this for the Gossies, the Golden Fleece, the Golden Geese.
Yes.
Ryan Gosling Awards. I know you might not agree, but just compared to what we have, worst film up there now with all Goss things.
Sure.
I'm also going to put this for most disappointing movie, because I feel like this could have been either really fun or really good, and it nails that line in the middle where it's neither.
Yep, I agree with this one.
Do we want to nominate this for worst Gosling role, or is it not that bad?
Nah.
Because we have no nominees there so far.
Maybe we could just cancel that category then, because I think the roles are not that bad, so.
Most or least boyfriend material caliber role, I feel like this is,
neither,
again, down the middle. Like, it just,
yeah.
It exists in a world in which he's basically asexual. Like, he has a relationship, but we don't even see the sex, you know what I mean? Like,
exactly.
Which is the craziest thing about this entire movie. Most fun film, no. Again, could have been, wasn't. Best song, best soundtrack, no. Best cinematography, no. Best costumes, no. Best hair, no. Worst hair.
Possibly, if you want to add it, sure.
Best love story, no. Worst love story, no. Again, down the middle. Best scream? Does he scream?
No, we get close, but I don't think he actually screams. I was waiting for one at one point.
He does not cry. He does not get punched in the face. He does not play an instrument. He does not kill anyone.
No.
Being a lawyer is a cool job, but not necessarily an award-winning job. Don't want to nominate that for best job.
Yeah, true.
Does not dance.
No.
Do you want to nominate, and I please say no, Anthony Hopkins for best non-Gos role male?
No.
Okay.
Absolutely not.
So we have three nominees: worst film, most disappointing, and worst hair. Thank you, Fracture, for giving us those beautiful things. Joe, any other thoughts about Fracture before we come back next episode for Half Nelson?
No, I think that you should watch it, though, because it's a fun movie.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Netflix US.
Easy to watch, yeah.
Next three movies we have, Joe, we're getting ever closer. The Half Nelson, Stay, which I do not know anything about. I can guess Stay, and then The Notebook.
Okay, oh, I'm so excited.
So close, so close. But for all things boyfriend material, you can go to cageclub.me, facebook.com/cageclub, at cageclubpod on Twitter and Instagram, email boyfriendmaterial@cageclub.me, and come back next episode for Half Nelson. Also, check out our Too Fast, Too Forever, our Fast and the Furious podcast every other Tuesday, as well as our Zac Efron and Channing Tatum podcasts. Everything at cageclub.me and all about all those shows. We've said this before in other episodes. They're all the same shows.
They're
talk about
same.
Different movies, talk about different things. It's the same show.
It
so
is.
If you like this, go check those out. I'm Joey Lewandowski.
I'm Joe, too.
And we'll see you next episode right here on Boyfriend Material.